Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We begin hour two of the program with the Dakota Political Junkies. Joining us today, Dana Ferguson with the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back. Also with us, Roger Whittle, editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. Welcome back, Roger.
Thanks. It seems like we were just here a week ago.
Doesn't it, though? And I feel like I should just kick my feet up and let Dana Ferguson take over, because the quantity of work that you produce is fairly outstanding and high quality as well. So thanks for all you do, first
Thank
of
you.
All. Where do you want to start? How about let's start with your analysis of Billy Sutton, Democrat from Burke, who recently announced running for governor, and you sort of analyzed, what are the scenarios that can help him win? What are his chances? Lay that out for us.
Right. So as we learned last week, the first Democrat in the South Dakota gubernatorial race, Billy Sutton, is in. And as his cell phone ringback tone, which I always get when I call him, would suggest, that was his entrance music last week, too. He's ready. He won't back down. And so I was curious to just think a little bit about what it would mean for him to have a few things happen ahead of 2018 that could make a win for a Democrat in a state that hasn't had a Democratic governor in four decades a likelihood, if even a possibility, and then what might stand in the way of that. So I think it's very possible that over the next year and a half or so, sort of that anti-Trump sentiment could continue, it could build, depending on the president's actions over the next few months even. Mm-hmm. And that could be really beneficial for Billy Sutton, who's really set out to make himself an anti-corruption, anti-establishment candidate. He's really made a point of saying, I'm going to run as a South Dakotan before I run as a Democrat, which could help him gain some favor with more moderate Republicans, with independents in the state. Even some Democrats might like the fact that he's not running with that label. We know that Republicans, Attorney General Marty Jackley and U.S. Representative Kristi Noem, are both very much in the race for governor. So if the two of them are going to have a primary that gets fairly ugly next spring and summer, they could both emerge from that, or whomever the winner is could emerge from that sort of scarred in the eyes of the public, with some flaws that he might be able to pounce on and say, you know, my Republican competitor here has XYZ issues that you need to think about, while he might not have any sort of Democratic competition going into that primary. Whether or not Mayor Mike Huser is going to be in at this point, we don't know. That would clearly change things.
Right.
And obviously we have to think about the fact that at this point, Republicans very, very significantly outnumber Democrats in the state. It would take basically all of the state's independent voters, or some of the Republican voters going in with Democrats to support Sutton, which Sioux Falls City Councilor Teresa Staley has said that she's pretty much Team Sutton at this point. So that could be some indication that there are individuals who seem to have had Republican leanings who might be willing to support a Democrat in this situation.
Roger Whittle, now we can put our feet back and let you tell us what it all means. No, I'm just kidding. How much do we make in the months ahead of the Democrat-Republican divide here? We keep hearing that, you know, we want to run as South Dakotans first, not Democrats, or, you know, Republicans reaching out to all South Dakota voters. Does that distinction matter in the state of South Dakota for a race like governor?
Oh, I think it definitely does. We haven't had a Democratic governor elected in the state for, what, 10 elections, which I think is the longest term in the country with one party controlling a governorship. So I think it does matter. But I think this is actually a good election for a Democrat to maybe end that trend, because of what Dana had written in her in her article. And another thing that I'm not sure she mentioned was she talked about the primary battle between Kristi Noem and Marty Jackley, that the winner could come out damaged. Mm-hmm. But also they're going to be spending so much money in their primary to win the primary that can only benefit the Democrat in the general election.
Dana, let's talk about money, that you listed that as one of the factors that could work against him because of the fundraising challenges. What are your thoughts?
Right. So obviously that's going to be a pretty significant hurdle in his way, at least for now. We know that both Noem and Jackley have amassed more than $1 million. For Noem, it's significantly more than that, coming up on $2 million ahead of this election, ahead of what could be a very contentious primary. So it would seem, even if they're spending like crazy before next year, they'll still have a good amount of money to play with after the primary, heading into the general. And so Sutton's really going to have to get enough fundraisers, find the right big donors to get behind his campaign. There's some indication that he'll be able to do that. Former U.S. Senator Tim Johnson's wife is working for his campaign, and there has been some sense that some of the senator's funds might be going towards Sutton's gubernatorial campaign. But at this point, it's too early to say whether that would be enough to make him competitive with Noem and with Jackley.
And Dana, so much can happen with President Trump's popularity. You say he got 61.5% of the vote in 2016. Those loyal Trump voters could stay loyal Trump voters in spite of, different challenges as he moves forward in his administration.
Right. That's exactly correct. And we know that in South Dakota, there's clearly more of a presence of Republicans. People are proud to be Republicans in South Dakota. They're proud to support Republican candidates. So even if Trump continues to lose his popularity at a national scale, or if congressional Republicans lose some of their credibility with conversations about health care or anything else, it's likely that South Dakota voters are still going to be pretty supportive of their Republican Party.
Let's bounce off that a little bit, Roger Whittle, and talk about a piece that appeared in the Public Opinion, really talking about that U.S. Congressional delegation from South Dakota and how they're communicating with their constituents back home. Town halls, less popular, phone calls more so. Can you lay out the reason why?
Well, it's been a trend nationwide ever since the presidential election that a lot of our Washington people from all around the country are having fewer town hall meetings because a lot of them have been getting ugly and a lot of protesters are showing up. So just a couple weeks ago, I actually got two phone calls at home on consecutive days, robocalls from Representative Noem and Senator Rounds, saying that they were going to have a conference call with the voters of South Dakota, and if you wanted to join in, just we'll call back tomorrow and just pick up the phone at the same time. And I thought that was interesting, that I'd never gotten a call like that before from one of our Congress people.
Hmm. So and can you participate in the conversation if you pick up the call, or are you just listening to a speech? Are you providing feedback?
No, I believe you were able to ask questions. I don't know if they were live, if you had to ask them first, and then they relayed them to the person. But yeah, they were taking questions from the listeners too. I thought that was an interesting thing, and South Dakotans always pride themselves on our politicians being accessible and you can talk to them face to face, and now we have this. Their response was that it's a very busy time of the year, of course, and this was a much more time efficient way of handling things rather than traveling back to South Dakota to have these meetings. So
it could be a cost saving as well.
I'm sure it's a cost saving too. There's less travel involved, but of course the cynics are all there, probably saying that they just are. I don't know what he's don't want to use the term afraid, but, you know, reluctant to have these large gatherings of people where there could be also large numbers of protesters.
Right. So, Roger, we had a conversation on this program yesterday with Dr. Joseph Bottom, who's going to be working at Dakota State, as we talked about cyber ethics. And what you're laying out just sort of reminds me of this whole, you know, how can you get a disruption and then share it on the internet that it lives forever mentality? Are we losing our manners? There's a whole lot to unpack there as you see the effect of how people participate in the political process.
That's true. We're running a column in our editorial page tomorrow about freedom of speech causing huge problems just for those reasons. People, I think this column is using the Kathy Griffin incident,
sure,
saying we do things that we would never have done, you know, 30, 40 years ago, and that's a problem.
Dana, thoughts on the importance of our congressional delegates sort of being accessible to meet with people face to face, and you know, how should we think about this?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I think it's really important to voters in a state that's this small, especially to have that sense that what you're saying to your congressional delegate matters. It's been a year politically that we know congressional offices are being flooded with phone calls, many, many letters, emails, et cetera, coming in. And there have been a lot of instances where voters are angry or they're really excited or they just want to share how something is really going to affect them. And if you don't feel like your voice is being heard, I mean, that can very negatively impact these individuals that you're electing and sending to Washington. In talking to each of them, I think they work very hard to make sure that any letters that are getting sent to them are getting returned with handwritten letters, that they're taking time to think about however these situations are going to impact their constituents. But a letter isn't always the same as seeing someone and shaking their hand and telling them about how you feel.
Roger, I want to sort of talk about President Trump and does the current political climate, and I'm not saying he's causing it, but just some of those debates back and forth, does that affect how folks talk to, you know, Senator John Thune or Senator Mike Rounds or Representative Kristi Noem? Are they, you know, I don't want to say misplacing, what's the right word, sort of projecting frustration onto the folks from South Dakota? Or are they holding them accountable for what they're doing in Washington?
That's actually a good question. I look at the way I look at it, and this might not be right, but I think the people are kind of emulating Donald Trump now, in that he's come out with this say anything, you know, and people are taking that and bringing it to these town hall meetings. You don't really have to be responsible; just say, just get angry and say something.
Interesting. And then, Dana, let's bounce to sort of how this, some of this, you know, plays out online and come back to the South Dakota gubernatorial race and domain names being snatched up and sort of set aside. Lay this story out for me. It's fascinating.
Yeah, so I had a reader reach out to me last week after the announcement that Senator Billy Sutton's going to be running for governor. And she mentioned that, you know, the domain name for Billy Sutton is already taken. And in doing a little research, she found that not only is it taken, it's taken by a very prominent Republican blogger in South Dakota, Pat Powers. So I thought this was interesting just for the sake of people likely wanted to know when I go to type this in, why is it coming up to Dakota War College? Why am I not being directed somewhere else? So I reached out to Pat and I asked him, why did you decide to buy this? Why, and are there other sites that you wanted to do this with? And he was very candid about it. He said, you know, it benefits my search engine optimization. It gets me more hits to my website when I'm able to buy up the domains for people I'm talking about pretty frequently on the blog. So Billy Sutton would be one. He's also purchased Another Republican gubernatorial candidate, Laura Hubbell's domain. And for either of those, if you go to their websites, they will sort of bounce you forward to Dakota War College rather than to the actual campaign sites for either of those two individuals. So just kind of interesting that that's something that he has done. Honestly, I was just wanting to make sure that readers knew what they were getting into when they're starting to look up these candidates and have the right websites for the actual campaign so we don't get into any sort of situations. And I don't think this would happen where someone is buying their domain and then potentially setting something up that might be fictitious.
Did you talk to any of the candidates about how they felt about this strategy?
Yeah, Laura Hubbell was very unhappy about it, but not surprised. I think that she and Pat Powers have a fairly a relationship that's really more of a rivalry, or they don't like each other very much.
They have a history.
They do. Whereas Billy Sutton said, you know, some people are going to play dirty. Some people are going to do things that I might not always like, but, you know, we're going to try to play fair and play nice. So that's another theme I look forward to potentially in the 2018 election, candidates really wanting to play as nice as they can. We'll see if that actually continues.
Working on raising the bar. Roger, we're back to cyber ethics then. Your thoughts on snatching up domain names and redirecting them to alternate sites?
I'm not sure it's a good idea, but I don't think there's anything I personally can do about it. You know, I got to give him credit for doing that. That's a brilliant idea, and if it helps him with his blog, you know, good for him. But I'm not even sure how we could set up rules or laws to prevent that.
Sure.
You know, it's just the way it is.
I have my daughter has a friend in high school who said he's going to trademark all his classmates' names and faces now, so that they have to pay them to get their school pictures taken. He's working the angles.
To be fair,
there are
federal cyber squatting laws that would prevent that if he's benefiting financially from their brand. So maybe not a good idea.
I am fascinated with this conversation with cyber ethics and what's going on, and I think it's something we'll be having now until forever as technology changes and as people come up with creative ways to work with it. So,
and that's the key. I mean, it's not even an ethics problem. Like our website here at the Public Opinion, publicopinion.com was already taken when we started our website years and years ago, so we had to become thepublicopinion.com. So you just have to find a workaround.
you just have to keep trying. All right. You've been listening to the Dakota Political Junkies. Dana Ferguson is with the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. You can find her work at argusleader.com. Thanks, Dana.
Thank you, Lori.
And Roger Whittle is the editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. Find him at thepublicopinion.com. Roger, thanks.
Thank you.